Hey, this is Jay Young with King Operating. Have you ever considered paying less money in taxes? Would you like to do what the wealthy do and invest in oil and gas? Go on our website, kingoperating.com, and get my book about our model, ADD, Acquire, Develop, and Divest, or call our number 214-420-3000 to talk to somebody today about investing in oil and gas and saving money on your taxes.
The Jay Young Show is a weekly podcast featuring insightful discussions with anyone from big business CEOs, celebrities, to military heroes. Each interview is a personal conversation about business, life, and anything in between. And now, your host, Jay Young.
Hey, hello everybody. This is Jay Young, the Jay Young Show again. But I tell you what, today, we've got a great guest. I'm real excited. Yonel DeVico, is that how you pronounce your name? Is that good?
Correct,
Yonel DeVico, fellow Tiger member out of Miami, and I tell you what, if you want to look at success, look at his age, and then look at the background. I mean, if you can't say that's success, I don't know what is. Right. So, Yonel, thank you very much for coming on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning to you. And this is going to be aired, I believe, in the evening. But if not, if anybody's looking at it throughout the day, you know, whatever it is. What I want to know is, you know, you live in Miami, and they've had the Miami Heat is now going to be in the finals, the NBA finals. And I know you're more of a soccer fan and a tennis fan. And LeBron is playing Denver. Whoever wins that game goes to the finals and plays the Miami Heat. So, man, there's a chance there that you could have LeBron, his fellow team in Miami, play with the Lakers now, playing Miami. Is there any, you hear any vibes, or is there anybody talking? I know you had your Tiger meeting yesterday. Was there any excitement building with the Miami Heat yet?
Yeah, of course. So I went to the last game of LeBron, I believe like 2 years ago. It was packed. And it was like an amazing vibe. And he said he would like come back one day to Miami. So hopefully we're going to see like a nice game. But like everyone is very excited. We had a good sports year here. We had the Super Bowl. I had the chance to see the Chiefs win. That was my first Super Bowl ever. And it was in Miami. I could not like miss it. So I mean, besides this COVID, we caught up on like sports, I guess. Finally.
Yeah. Man, what an outdoor place. I mean, what a beautiful scenery that you wake up to every day out your balcony there to see the ocean and I tell you what, I want to know more about you, and that's what this program's all about. It's not a long, drawn-out 2-3-4 hour. This is a short little clip of how somebody in the latter part of high school or college and making decisions on where to go, how to be the best person, and learn from somebody that's maybe made the journey, but maybe they made some mistakes during the journey. So, Yonel, what I want to do is just first of all, kind of tell us about your journey. Where did you grow up and your first education?
Great. So I was born in Morocco, North Africa. And until I graduated from high school, then went to Paris for undergrad and grad school and business school. So I had the opportunity to do two things while in business school. One, to go for an internship, summer internship at Merrill Lynch during summer of 2008. So it was an interesting one. And also go for an exchange program at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. So we're about like 20 French guys going to Columbus, Ohio, learning about the Midwest culture. It was like an amazing experience and made me want to come back to the U.S.
Okay. All right. Good, good. And then you were in New York, right?
Yeah, New York. So I started working in real estate and wanted more education in real estate. So I attended the master in real estate development at Columbia University in New York. And bad timing. 2011 was a real bad time to do real estate. And the only thing that we could do was buying non-performing mortgages. And I ended up starting buying non-performing mortgages on condo fractured projects. And since then, I've been doing that along with like some investment in office and other type of assets, but mostly like non-performing mortgages.
Right. That's great. So your claim to fame and how you have the view there and how you have your success at an early age is mortgages and buying underperforming loans, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So let me ask you this real quick. What is it that when you went to school, is that the school that you, I mean, are you glad that you went to that class, those classes and graduated? You have your master's, you went to business school and got your master's in Paris.
Correct. Right?
What was your degree in, I guess?
So in business school, it was specialized in finance.
Finance, okay. So you got a finance degree. Okay, all right, good. And at Columbia, what did you study at Columbia in New York?
So I studied a master in real estate development.
Okay, wow, master's in real estate development. Wow, okay, good. So then it was like, okay, well, do I do real estate development or do I just look at buying these loans that are non-performing? And then I'm assuming that you kind of go in and buy these loans. And then how do you make money? Do you put equity in to sell them or to increase the value and sell them?
So, yeah, there are like different ways to create value when we buy a non-performing loan. One is to make it re-performing. So since you're buying it at a discount, most of the time, when you make the loan cash flowing again, it increases in value and you can sell it again or refinance you can actually put financing on the loan. So that's one first thing. Second thing is to work out something with the borrower where you will like take over the property and like sell it on the market. You can obviously do some work to the property to increase even more the value, which I've done in the past, but I'd rather just sell the property like as is to an operator who is specialized in that market, in that type of class of asset.
Okay.
And the third thing is just to trade the loan, like you buy a portfolio of loans and you trade it for a premium on the market.
Right. Okay. So when you got started, I guess you just went to work for a company. Where was the first company you went to work for?
So it was like an office building investment company.
Okay.
And so we purchased like loans with them, like on office buildings and on condo projects. And it was like it was a great experience.
Okay. Great. How long did you work there?
About like 6 years.
6 years? Yeah. They always say that when you get out of college, when you get out of your schooling, go to work for somebody successful for 5 years, at least 5 years to get that base. You know,
correct.
To get the base of I'm gonna go to work every morning, I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna do whatever it takes, you know. And just because after that, then you can be an entrepreneur and then you can build it yourself. But at least 5 years with somebody just to kind of understand the whole entire market and some contacts and, you know, things of that nature. So that's good.
Yeah. By myself, I started buying loans on like single family houses because those were like smaller and were more complicated actually. So I learned, like I developed an experience in that market as well.
Yeah. Okay, good. So, I mean, that's what I like. I mean, and I've learned this with, you know, people have been around, you know, the people that have master's degrees or they've got that other education. It's a different level of education because I know a lot of people go, why should I get an education? Why? I'm just going to buy this for, you know, $20 and flip it for 30. Why do I need to get an education? I mean, that doesn't take an education. But when you get into the bigger deals and the bigger money later on, it's good that you have that base of that education, of that master's program or the the other program that you did at Columbia. And I mean, it's just a, I've learned that, man, I love being around people that have that extra education because they're so bright, you know, they look at deals differently. And it's just a really great way to look at life, I guess, you know, so good for you. And that's great. Cause you know, you've built that from, you know, going to high school, going to Paris, going to Columbia, you had your education down. You didn't look back, you know, and then you went to work for another company for 5 years and then, or six, I'm sorry, 6 years. You have a great base on how to develop this. And when did you start? So I said 6 years after, so you're 24 years old or you're 28, yeah, 30 years old when you start off on your own?
Yeah, that's about right. Like,
yeah, about
28. Yeah, so I started like investing on my own like pretty early actually, back in like when I was like 26.
Yeah.
Okay. Because while I was doing the office investment, I was also doing like residential investment, and also I started investing in single family rentals with a classmate of mine at Columbia, and we developed a platform that later was sold to like a Canadian pension fund. So it was a very interesting experience to like, you know, create this platform and learn about like the single family market, which I like today, and like that's my main focus today.
Right, that's great. That's awesome. So you know, Evan Balin, who's San Francisco Tiger, you know, I interviewed him. He went to Columbia and he did the Google. I mean, he figured out, hey, how do I get SEOs? How do I get search engine optimization for companies, you know, to go from A to B? Man, I need to start looking for people around Columbia. Man, you guys are sharp. you guys are educated, man. I need to find, you know, I'm looking for smart people, man. I know where I need to go. You and Evan both, you know, or you know, extremely educated, because hey, you don't take the shortcuts. You don't have to make the mistakes that a lot of us had to make, you know, and you know, being from a smaller school and Hard Knocks and things of that nature, man, it's great that you have that ability to get from A to B in a shorter amount of time and make a lot more money, you know? So congratulations on that. Is there anything that you learned, or is there a mentor? Is there education? Is there books? Is there anything that any of us can just pick up and read that's been kind of like your favorite?
So I think in the master program, I really enjoyed listening to our professors. We were actually like CEOs, entrepreneurs, and like real estate developers. That was the strength of the program, is to see like real life situations. So we had, for instance, a professor, his name is Jay Cross. He is the person in charge of the development of Hudson Yards, which is the largest like development in the United States. It's probably like $8 billion or so. Mm. You might have heard about it. It's where they're building mixed use above rails.
Okay.
So it was a very challenging thing, and he developed also like stadiums. I think he developed a Miami stadium, the Marlins stadium, I think.
Right.
Anyways, it was pretty impressive person. We had also a CEO of like the largest office REIT in New York City. So when you learn from those people, it's just great. And the other thing is that our class was 100 people with a lot of very talented people who already had very good experience. So I learned a lot from them. So that was like, it gave me like 10 years of experience in like 1 year, basically, in real estate. And we're always in touch with each other, and we try to mentor and help each other like around like issues that we have.
Wow, that's great. That is awesome. Good for you. Hey, so what does success mean to you? What is it that you look forward to, or what is it that you Well, I mean, you had some great success in your life. You're a young entrepreneur. What does it mean to you? I guess maybe another way to say it is, or ask is it the fear of failure that drives you, or is it the desire to succeed?
So the desire to succeed like drives me, and most importantly, do what like you like to do. So when you wake up in the morning, you're happy, like you're just happy doing what you're spend like the day at the office, and like working with like nice people, with like interesting people, smart people. So that's the most important for me. That's like, I think that's the success, is to manage to do what you really want to do.
Right. Okay. So you started off in your schooling, and you're working for somebody else, and all of a sudden you started building your own business, and then just keep the foot on the pedal, right? I mean, don't let off. Just keep succeeding. You know what succeeds every day. You know that you need to do the same thing there, which is great. So what would you tell yourself if you were telling yourself or wanting to hear something at Columbia or whatever? Is there anything in particular that you would tell somebody that was, if you're stopping at Starbucks, you're going in, and all of a sudden somebody at Columbia goes, "Man, you look successful. Tell me what I need to do." What would you say in a small conversation?
So I think it's important to work on like a few qualities, such as like resilience, like never give up,
right?
Like not be afraid of like of failing sometime, because it happens. I mean, like you can have small like failures, even bigger failure. I didn't really have like any large like failure, but always like got smaller like failures, mm-hmm. Where things didn't work, and always try to think out of the box and try to do things differently than others.
Right.
Because if you do the same thing than others, it's just not going to work. You have to be creative in business.
I don't want to sit there and do the same thing over and over again. If it doesn't work, you know, man, I want success for everybody, you know?
And, yeah, no, for sure. And yeah. And like an interesting thing that my brother-in-law told me one day, he told me, try to be the best at what you're doing. So right. Don't try to do like everything. Just try to do like something and be the best at it.
Right.
And
right.
That's why I try to focus on like only one thing, which is like mortgages, because like dirt, like real estate or mortgages is already a very like broad field that you cannot be like the best at like everything.
Right.
And in the US, the market is so big that you can be like successful at one little thing is good enough.
Right. Well, you know, and it struck me a minute ago is to think about how is mortgages the same thing as apartments, which is the same thing as oil and gas. I mean, I'm doing the same thing you are, right? My vehicle is the same exact thing that you're doing, because I'm value adding and selling. We scale it and sell it. That's our motto. I got a patent. You can't steal it. We scale it and sell it, right? And that's our motto. I'm just kidding. I know you wouldn't want to steal it, but I'm saying that I love that saying, because people don't think that you can do that in oil and gas. Well, yes, you can. It's just like a mortgage. It's just like an apartment complex. It's like a building. It's like whatever is going in and add value, and then having the opportunity in a bullish market to sell and make, you know, 4-1, 5-1 on your money. Hey, so what does your daily life look like? Do you just wake up and go look at that ocean back behind you and go, "Oh my gosh, I've done it," or "I succeeded," or
so I try. I wake up, I try to have like a coffee breakfast with my daughter. I have a 2-year-old baby girl. And I try to play tennis in the mornings. So it's great, because it gives energy. It gives a lot of, it's just fun. And I love doing that. So I try to do that. Then start just like start working, do whatever I have to do to get things done.
Are you still quarantined? Or are you working out of the house? Or
So I work from home at the moment, because at the end of the day, it's our business is nationwide. We work with like people like all over the US, and also also like in Europe, Europe and Asia. So most of our people are like not in Miami. We use a lot of like lawyers. We work with about like 30 law firms nationwide. And so we don't need to be like in an office. So we have like meetings at the office and we meet at the office, but I'm still like at home. And honestly, I like enjoy being at home because it's saving me like commute time. I get to spend more time with like my daughter. Like I can have lunch with her, have coffee with her in the afternoon, and so on. And I feel like that I'm like more effective too at work. At home, actually.
Gotcha. That's great. Hey, I mean, I know that transportation or moving, going back and forth, you know, sometimes from the office is wasted time unless you're spending on the telephone. I mean, I know a lawyer that lived in North Houston, and he said, I make my driving time productive because, he goes, I get on the phone with my client and I charge him an hour. So he's charging $300 or $400, you know, for his drive time to Houston, his downtown office, and then hour back, you know. So, but other than that, I mean, how can you really make money in this? And it's harder to do, obviously, you know. But do you raise a fund for investors, or is it all just in-house capital right now?
So it's in-house capital, and we have a few investors, and right now we have also institutional investors that really like the strategy, and we're working with more investors. We work with banks. I mean, we have different sources of capital.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they'll put your website on so they can go to your website and learn more about you. And then Evan Balin, the guy that I'd like to set you up with a call, man, that guy is incredible. He's in San Francisco, fellow Tiger member, and understood, sold his company to Google. I think he sold his company to Google, but I know he does the SEO, and he started there, right there with probably the same time you were at Columbia. Maybe he was there as well, but I'd like to hook you up with him. Let me ask you this one more question. I mean, I know that we all need to run. How important is it today of the people that you run around with on a daily basis, daily, weekly, the people that you hang around, how important is it?
They're very important because, they are contributing to like the success of like your company and your like personal success. So it's very important to surround yourself with like smart people, quick people who are like quick at getting stuff done. So it's definitely something very important. And also, I mean, with Tiger 21, I learned a lot of like things from other people, from successful people, and it's very important to me.
Good, very good. And I tell you, I like that. And I like the question and I like the answer. I've got my target meeting here in a little bit, and I want to be able to jump on we're meeting in person and virtual, sort of. But the people that you hang around, especially, you know, high school, college, is going to make a journey that's going to help you or hurt you in your journey. Because if you're hanging around the wrong people, I'm assuming that you're not hanging around a bunch of drug addicts and you know, huge alcoholics and people that are, you know, hurting people or stealing. And I mean, you know, look at you, clean cut guy, good looking background. When you're hanging around the right people, and that's what I think a lot of us need to make sure that we do, is that we hang around those people, because, man, that's what drives us every day. And that keeps us in that bubble, if you will, of the you are the five people that you hang around, you know, one of those things, because it is important on who you hang around with, and also make sure that they help you with your journey. You know, I help my friends with their journey, but they help me with my journey. You know, because they want me to be successful, and I want them to be successful. And that's the kind of people that you obviously want to hang around with.
Very important always to like volunteer to help like other people and like help them in their journeys too.
So, you know, tell me how the pandemic has affected you and your business. Has it affected it a lot? Is it good, bad?
So in the beginning, we're like really concerned that like everything's going to collapse. We're invested in like a lot of like single family houses, and we're thinking that like everyone would that property values will like decrease drastically. And actually the opposite happened. Like interest rate went like from like 2 to 0. So like the Fed interest rate went from 2 to 0. So people can borrow money for super cheap to buy houses, and they don't want to live anymore in apartment buildings. So we were already into like a shortage of houses, and it just this pandemic just made this shortage like even bigger, so our REOs and properties that we're selling, they're just like selling super fast. They don't stay on the market. And people who had non-performing mortgages, they received money from the government. And also they were really concerned about losing their property. So they started making payment again and wanted to modify the loans. So, and last thing is, unfortunately, this pandemic created a lot of non-performing mortgages. And it's great for us because we are going to buy them and make them reperforming and help people to make them reperforming again and sell them again. So it's increasing the inventory of product that we can buy.
So I'm assuming that you're going to buy some commercial real estate. How long is it going to take you to turn? When do you see commercial real estate being strong again?
So. For the moment, we're not going to buy a commercial real estate except if it's like amazing deals. We believe that the real estate, commercial real estate, is going to bottom like next year. It's going to take time for lenders to realize that the commercial real estate is not what it's used to be. We still don't know exactly what are the effects, how quick people are going back to hotels, to office, to retail. Is the retail like dead forever? Are offices going to suffer a little bit or not? Some people think that everything will be back to normal for offices after. Some people think like maybe 20-30% of people will never go back to the office.
You're kind of agnostic about your buying habits about mortgages, because you're not really saying there's a big difference in commercial, but you're just looking at the upside. You know how to deal with mortgages, and that's your vehicle for success, instead of saying, okay, well, you know, I don't have to buy commercial, institutional, industrial. I mean, you can buy any of them, I'm assuming.
Correct. So at the end of the day, what's important is like the collateral value behind and what cash flow the asset can bring. And for the moment, we're just not comfortable with like commercial properties because we're really uncertain about the cash flow. Even if you have great tenants, you can have Starbucks telling you, we don't want this location anymore. So there's no certainty. What I like about the housing market, the single family housing market, is that will always have someone who needs a house, right? Or you will have the government paying for people with Section 8. The government is spending $20 billion to house people on Section 8 today. So they can spend 5 times this money today. It's not, it's a drop in the bucket, right? $100 billion for the U.S. government.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
And that's the money they will need to use to pay the rent of every American people. That's $100 billion in Section 8.
Gosh, great! That's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. That's great. I'm gonna tell you what. I mean, I know that I respect your time, and we've got 30 seconds, 40 seconds, because I told you we get off by a certain time. So I want to say it's been incredible getting to know you better. I mean, I met you just a short time ago, even though we have the brotherhood of Tiger. You know, we never have met personally, and this is a great way to meet you, and I really have enjoyed it. And I look forward to the next time that we talk again, and to hear those success stories, which is just it's just phenomenal. That's what I like about doing the show, is to learn more about people, connections with you and you know, Evan or whoever, and knowing, you know, just how to help other people as well. There's going to be those people out there in college or high school that are going, man, what should I do? Should I really go to work and start working, or should I, you know, start right now and go to my and go to get my master's? And hey, I'm gonna watch this Yonald video. Oh my gosh, look at this guy, how successful he is, and he decided to go to Columbia instead of going to work. You know, man, put in the hard work. So that's great. Thank you very much for being on. And I'll tell you what, thanks everybody for helping us put this production together. And Yonald, again, thank you.
Thank you, Jay.
Can we get one more shot at that beautiful sky? I mean, man, look at that. I don't have that in my house. I don't have that in my office either. I'm overlooking a garage and a car. But anyway, that's my view. Yonald, thank you very much for coming on. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Jay. Looking forward to see you in person.
Absolutely. Me too. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day. Evening. Bye.
Thank you. Subscribe on the YouTube, the LinkedIn, or the whatever, Instagram. Do whatever you have to, and have a great day. But learn from guys like this. Learn from people like this that have done it, that have been successful. That's the most important thing. Thank you very much for coming on. We'll see you again next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. Have a great day.
Thank you.